All right, welcome back. 239-1310. 239-1310's Afternoons with Amos. Over the years, the Indianapolis Chamber of Commerce, now the Greater Indianapolis Chamber of Commerce, has not only stood up for the priorities of what the business community felt were important, but they also stood up for the priorities to make Indianapolis a better city when it came time to have healing during school desegregation. The Indianapolis Chamber of Commerce stood up. When the Indianapolis Chamber of Commerce has stood up in terms of encouraging businesses to diversify and increase the number of African Americans and other minorities in the workforce, and a lot of other positive things. Now we're in the second decade of the 21st century, and a lot of issues facing this city, a city that has become a lot more complex, a lot more diverse, a lot more un-Hoosier. As we go into the new year in the wake of the election, where is the Greater Indianapolis Chamber of Commerce coming from? Scott Miller is the president of the Greater Indianapolis Chamber. He's here along with Angela Smith-Jones, trying to keep him out of trouble. Guys, welcome.
Hi, thank you.
Let me first go with education. That has been a major priority of the chamber, and we seem to have had a dichotomy on election night. In the IPS school district, Sam Odle, and who everybody in the community knew is not only a great the businessman, but a great civic citizen in the mold of his mentor, Dr. Frank Lloyd, elected at large to the school board. Two newcomers, Caitlin Hannon and Gail Cosby, elected. Diane Arnold was unopposed. But those same and they won by huge landslide margins. But at the same time, IPS voters also voted against Dr. Tony Bennett and for Glenda Ritz, for superintendent of public instruction, sending two messages. Okay, we may not mind change, but what's the chamber's reaction to that?
Yeah, well, exactly what you said. We've found that to be somewhat of a dichotomy, that here voters voted against reform in one section, but voted for it in that same election. And we're really excited about the four candidates that IPS is going to have coming on board. We think they bring a lot of strength to the table, and we're really excited about that. We're also excited to work with the new Secretary of Education for our state, Glenda Ritz, and to begin spending time with her and finding out how we can best partner with her for education, especially here in Central Indiana.
You know, in terms of education, one of the messages that seems to be coming, well, there's a couple of messages in IPS. From the business community standpoint, if the new board develops a consensus that it is time for a change at superintendent, can this district afford that? I mean, the superintendent has a valid contract. You'd have to buy out the contract, and it would almost, there are rumors that the price tag would be like getting rid of the coach at Purdue.
Yeah. Well, from our perspective, I think we'd want that board to be able to have the authority to do what they feel is in the best interest of the school district, and especially the students and mm-hmm. the families that are represented. And I'm sure that they would want to take a look at what the fiscal ramifications of a decision like that would be. But I think we need to give them some time to be able to get into their roles and to evaluate the situation and to ask the questions that they feel are appropriate.
In terms of education, and obviously these new A through F grades has caused some consternation on one level. But when I looked at the different results here in Marion County, we've got a school district, Decatur Township, on the southwest side, where nearly all of their schools were D. And I think the one other school that wasn't a D was a B. Now, even if I took those performance grades at face value, that is not a well system. But some would say, why is the chamber always talking about IPS that contains a minority of the public school students in this city and not say anything about some of the problems in the other school corporations like Decatur?
Yeah, I think that's an excellent question. And yet one of the things that we have actually been doing is meeting with school superintendents throughout the nine townships and working with them on best practices to find out whether it's Lawrence or Pike, Decatur, any one of the school districts, as well as the private schools, and working with each of them to say, what are you doing that's really working well, mm-hmm. and what are the teachers doing in those schools? What are the principals doing that are working well? And what are the things that could be improved upon that we could borrow ideas from each other on? And so although IPS may get a lot of the publicity or the press, every single student, not just in Marion County even, but in the surrounding counties as well, has to be seen as a valued individual that should be given a shot at the best education that they can get. And so that's our passion, and I think, you know, Angela works on this on a daily basis for us, focusing on education, and I know that's her heart as well.
In terms of education, Angela, when I went to the Chamber's website, you know, it talked about, you know, just 50% of students in IPS graduate, which is not the data that's on the State Department of Education's website. You know, the IPS graduation rate was in the 64.6% in the last school year, 2010-2011. And then there's also this myth of dropouts, when only 20%, again, according to Tony Bennett's data, only 20.4% of IPS students in the class of 2011 were officially dropouts. For the entire county, in terms of public schools, only 7.5% of the class of 2011 dropout. When we talk to education, do we need to really start talking the facts and not what we think it is?
Yes, I think we do. And a part of what you said is getting real numbers on the dropout rates, and also looking at waivers and what goes into waivers, and ensuring that we really increase that decrease the dropout rate and increase the graduation rate statistically.
Will the Chamber, one of the issues that is bubbling up in the African American community is the number of students who have, particularly African American males, who have been placed in special education and trying to get all of the school districts and charters in Marion County to publicly release that data so we can really see, A, if disproportionality really exists, and B, how serious the problem is. And then the corollary to that is trying to make school districts understand that unless a kid is committing a real crime, why do you sentence a kid to get kicked out of school for 2 or 3 days when that really is what they want? Why don't you sentence them to stay in school 2 or 3 extra days and as the punishment? Where's the Chamber fit on balancing discipline and dealing with these disproportionality problems? Because I think this is not just IPS. This transcends school districts.
Sure, yep. So from our perspective, I think, especially on the discipline side, I think you have to allow the parents and the leaders in each individual school work through their own discipline issues and have the opportunity to make decisions based on the best interests of the children that are there. I think that we would want to stay on the sidelines and allow them to be able to make those decisions individually at each individual school system.
Along with that, I do think it's important for us to encourage exactly what you said, Amos, which I think is true, is that there be some type of cultural competency that's encouraged. And perhaps this new school board will recommend that for the public school system, because there is a cultural competency issue in that it is disproportionate, and it is more important that we get the children strong educations than it is to sentence them, if you will, to being out of school, which is exactly what we do not want, because that continues that trend of loss of education.
239-1310, 239-1310 with Scott Miller, Angela Smith-Jones with the Greater Indianapolis Chamber of Commerce. Is it fair to say in this legislature that starts next week with Organization Day and then starts for real in January, is mass transit the number one priority for the Chamber?
Yes. We believe that it's an economic development issue. As we talk to employers and as we look at that next generation of talent, that we need to attract to our city and keep in our city, it's a huge issue for us. And so as we've been working with organizations and companies about either relocating here or keeping them here in our city, We believe it's our highest priority as we head into this session.
The Speaker of the House, Brian Bosma, just named like 800 people to help, you know, with the leadership of the House Ways and Means Committee, which probably is making Bill Crawford smile that it takes 8 people to do what he used to do as chair of that committee. And I think the official chair is must be one of my cousins. It's Dr. Tim Brown from Crawfordsville. So I'm gonna claim him as a cousin because I might get a favor out of the budget. But how difficult is it? Because as I looked at the leadership of Ways and Means that will be doing the budget, there's no one in the majority from Marion County. And even though there are still, you know, Republican House members in Marion County, they're down to 5. Those are districts that, with the exception of Cindy Kirchhoff over on the east side, have to share with suburban counties. How difficult is it now that from the legislature side, most of the representatives whose districts are wholly within this city are not of the majority party?
Yeah. With transit, one of the things that we believe is so important is making sure that we get out and share the benefits and the message with the people who will have an opportunity to be a part of the legislative session. And first and foremost, we have to get the buy-in from the Marion County delegates that are there. And I think that that's something that we've been busy building relationships, and we'll continue to do that with those individuals. And yet, at the State House, it is, as votes are taken, there are votes that have influence from throughout the state. And so, as Indianapolis goes, though, we believe it is the key economic driver for central Indiana and frankly, for the state. And so we think a strong Indianapolis is really important from a transit standpoint.
Let me go to Patricia right quick at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hello.
Hi.
I have a question. You guys are just talking about the school board and disciplining the children and so forth. My question is in regards to there being consistency with the discipline that takes place. And Amazon, we've touched base on this in regards to my child being suspended, facing expulsion because of it being the first fight of the year. But that's not what the handbook says. None of that, but there's like no consistency on what takes place with the discipline.
That's a great point. Let me kind of take Patricia's question and move it another way. The business community is always concerned about productivity. And when there's a lack of consistency in school districts following their own procedures, then you have parents taking time off of their job, reducing their productivity, trying to deal with stuff in the schools that the schools can't handle. And we talk about, and even in what the chamber wants to see in terms of education, we talk about teachers, we talk about board. We don't talk enough about the quality of school leaders and improving the quality of building principals, school leaders, superintendents, and what have you. In your priorities for next year, does that move up a notch or two?
Actually, I'll take that one. Yes. With regard to what our focus is, it is a part of that component. For example, Marion University has a strong principal leadership program, mm-hmm. and that is a component that we really feel that having a strong leader makes a huge difference in the culture and environment and the success of an institution. And to kind of go to your question and hers, once we're able to grow those strong principals and continue to develop those strong principals that are in place, it should lend itself to more consistency and more fairness.
All right, 239-1310, 239-1310 is afternoon's name. The other concern, if mass transit is the number one priority of the business community for the legislature, really all you're asking the legislature is give us the right to vote and decide it for us. We're not asking you for any money. We're not asking you for any favors. Let the people around here vote. If we vote it up, fine. If we vote it down, that's our business. But we're entering into a budget crisis where the current mayoral administration is doing something that the UNIGOV founders never contemplated, and that was that the mayor had authority over constitutional county offices. He's impounding, in my view, legitimate tax dollars and moving them away from the uses that they were designed. We seem to be heading into a constitutional crisis, and we've not heard anything from the business community about that. Where are y'all on that? this whole budget issue and budget, but looming budget crisis. We talk about the fiscal cliff in Washington. We got a mini fiscal cliff here.
Right. So to put it that finances are tight throughout the nation would be an understatement. But even at the state and local levels, and especially here in Marion County, it is a difficult financial environment. And so difficult decisions are going to be made. One of the things that we do have is a fiscal policy council at the chamber. And we have been working closely both with the city county council and examining some of these issues, as well as with the administration, just to take a look at it and say, hey, here are some different potential options. And we want to be open to them coming to us and saying, hey, if we wanted to get together on this, there may be some other opportunities or options out there. We've got some really talented people, we think, from a business perspective that can add some perspective to it. But I don't think any of the decisions are going to be easy. It's going to take the ability to get together and work together as a community. And that is something that our city has been unique, I think, in our ability to work through difficult problems and find great solutions over a period of time.
How important is it? Because one of the major sticking points is the fact that the mayor of this city has never sat down with either the Democratic members of the legislative delegation for his city or with the Democratic members and leadership of the city county council. Are we at a point where the business community needs to say it is time for the mayor to grow up and sit down with the elected representatives from the other side?
Well, what I think it's critically important that we encourage all sides, both the city county council and the mayor's office, to sit down and work together. We elected a very talented crew for the city county council.
But wouldn't the business community be disturbed by the fact that this mayor has never sat, when we were dealing with mass transit last year, he never sat down with the Democratic delegation for this county? That is unheard of for what was the city's major legislative initiative last year. Mayor Goldsmith never did that. Mayor Hutnut never did that. Mayor Peterson never did that. Mayor Lugar never did that. This is unprecedented. At what point the business folk are practical and they don't like Mickey Mouse? At what point does the business community say, both, you know, hey, come on over to our office. We're going to lock all y'all in a room and sit down and work this out. Not aides, not assistants, the folks the people elected.
Yeah. Amos, I think you bring up some really good points as it relates to the ability to work together. And I think if we were to look at it objectively, I think that there's probably an opportunity for both sides to come together and to further the initiatives of the people that were elected, or the people that elected those officials. And so we continued to espouse that, and we think that that's an important thing. If you have a difficult time communicating, it's going to be very difficult to get something done appropriately. And so, but I think there's culpability on both sides, and I think that there is something that, you know, if we could figure out ways that the groups can come together.
Call a meeting. Who's going to say no to Scott Miller, the head of the chamber, calling a meeting? Mayor's there. Council president's there. Cherish Pryor, state representative. Greg Porter, state representative. They're all in the room, and you lock the door. He's not going to say no to you. They're not going to say no to you.
I love you.
I don't have the seniority to call the meeting. I'd have called the meeting a long time ago.
Coffee and Long's Donuts, right?
See, I've had great past presidents of the chamber right. who've schooled me. Carl Deutsch would have called the meeting by now. Right. God rest his soul.
Right, right. Well, it's something that I think as we look to see how this budget situation plays out, we want to keep all options open.
And one other thing I ask you, when I looked at the chamber's priorities for this past year, offender reentry was there. Does that remain strong?
Yes. Yes, it does. We're committed to offender reentry as well as reentry of veterans. It's a critical component of our community, and they are ready, willing, and able to work. And so we are going to do what we can to help facilitate
that.
The
national commander of the American Legion told me on this program when I was privileged to speak with him that the problem, as he saw it, wasn't when he talks to CEOs. They get it. They understand it. It's the HR managers, it's the personnel directors that don't understand the skills and the leadership and the great qualities that our veterans today, particularly our veterans from Iraq and Afghanistan, bring to the table. We're the home of the American Legion. What's the chamber doing to work with the Legion to educate Hoosier employers about the strengths of our veterans?
Actually, that's a great question. We've been spending this year creating great partnerships with the American Legion and other different veteran organizations so that we can create a core of veterans that work with us so we can create basically a streamlined single point of access where we can work with the veterans as well as employers to educate and be a strong resource.
The other thing is we don't know what the city has been doing with ex-offender reentry. Whoever this guy is and in charge, he's invisible, doesn't want to come to the African-American community and explain what it is he's doing. So if you see this individual, because I don't even know whether this individual exists, tell him he needs to come in prime time and explain what's going on.
Okay.
You do that for me?
I will do that for you.
Will you do that for me?
Yes.
One final question, Scott Miller. We got a new public safety director. He was on this program yesterday. It seems like a breath of fresh air. Have you met him?
I have not. However, and as you know, he's been extremely busy this week with the tragedy that happened on the south side of Indianapolis. However, it is one of our highest priorities to have an opportunity to spend some time with him. We believe there's a lot of issues as it relates to opportunities within public safety, and the business community believes a safe city is an incredible asset to us as we move forward. So I'm excited to meet with him, and I'm glad that you were already able to do that.
And if people want more information about the Indy Chamber and where they when will you all post what the legislative agenda is going to be in 2013?
It'll be mid to end December, about the 15th of December we'll have it.
Is there going to be, you know, any stomach because, you know, they got this wild majority, and there's already rumors of all kinds of social legislation that could negatively impact business or cause people to think we're Alabama and potential new employees might not want to come here. Is that a concern of the chamber?
You know, one of the things that we would continue to encourage our legislatures to do from a business standpoint is to focus on business issues. And so the social issues are things that, although they may be important to portions of our membership, we're going to encourage our legislators to focus on business issues.
And we know the Great Indianapolis Chamber, you're always wanting people to come to Indianapolis and help support our cultural organizations. It's the 85th year for the Madam Walker. I'm getting choked up because I got a Supreme on my live line. So as I kind of transition from Angela Smith-Jones with the Indianapolis Chamber of Commerce, Scott Miller, the president of the Indianapolis Chamber of Commerce,